This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. I'm Amber, and today my fabulous co-host is the one, the only, Vince Spinato. He is a cosmetic chemist, certified nose. He's got a book out. He is behind some of the biggest brands that you have ever heard of. He's made over $1 billion for his clients, and I'm so excited to have him on because he's just written a tell-all about his time developing fragrances for some of the finest in Hollywood. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I have to ask, where are you right now, though?
I'm in my house, Laguna Beach, California.
So you're Cali now, because yeah. I know that you told me before you're a Jersey guy.
I am. I grew up born in Philadelphia and grew up in South Jersey, right in Vineland, which is right just south of Atlantic City by like 10 minutes. So pretty much on the Jersey Shore.
I have to ask you then, are you a sports guy? Is it Eagles? Are we Giants, Jets?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, you hit it right the first time. We're hardcore Eagles, fourth generation Eagles, big time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go Eagles. Fly Eagles, okay. Fly. My husband is from Philly. So that's.
Oh yeah. So you know how serious it is.
Oh, I know. When they won the Super Bowl, he cried.
Oh, so I cried for actually days. Even once in a while, I still go back to YouTube and I watch the people like people actually winning, and I still cry.
So does he? I'll come in sometimes and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's actually just rewatching the game, and I'm like, "Wow, okay, amazing."
We waited a really, really, really long time for that.
Okay, so Vince, for people who don't know, you have created fragrances for J.Lo. You've created fragrances for, tell some of the people.
Yeah, well, pretty much I work in all categories. So hair care, skin care, bath and body, manicure, pedicure, baby, even pet products. You'll find fragrances actually just kind of a small portion of what I do. But to your point, I started my career in the very late 90s and 95, actually. And one of my first projects was with Jennifer Lopez's team to work on her fragrance Still, which is her second fragrance she got to the market. And then I kind of went over to Michael Jordan, and we did a line for him, Foot Locker through Bijan, when he was kind of hot and popular. And he still is. And then I went over to Jessica Simpson, and she, at that period of time, she had a reality show with her husband on MTV. And we actually did a skincare line for her called Dessert, which is all like baked edible products. You actually can put them all on your body. They all were edible. So like lotion.
Right. Wash. I remember like that vanilla cakey smell. Delicious.
Uh-huh. Right. So that really kind of just started my career at the celebrity side. But on the side, I've always been developing products for doctors, retailers, private brands. I mean, from Costco and Trader Joe's up to Chanel and Lauder and everybody in between.
So I have to ask, how does, a Jersey guy get into this world of cosmetics and glam and glitz?
A very, very embarrassing, unfortunately, true story, which was I actually watched Young and the Restless with my grandmother growing up, like starting like at 3 years old. And that's honestly 100% where I got the idea from. They had a fictitious cosmetic company on a company called Jabot, which is what the whole show was about. And that's where I got the idea from. So growing up watching the Young and the Restless, that gave me the idea, and it just stuck with me. That's where it all came from. I was in South Jersey. I was on a queer farm community, by the Jersey Shore and on the beach, and nothing like that was even around in my life. So I got to give the Y&R and William Bell the creator for my whole entire career, honestly.
I love that. I feel like I'm wearing my like Y&R kind of dynasty chic today.
You'd be the opening with that for sure.
I was so excited to have you on today because I feel like I interview so many wonderful people about brands and everything, but I feel like this was kind of my behind the scenes, getting a little bit more of like the dirt of what goes on. So did you go to school to become a cosmetic chemist? Like what was the process there?
I didn't. Because cosmetic chemistry is not really a real major that exists even in the United States, even today. So really you have to go to school for chemistry, which is what I did. And then you go ahead and kind of specialize. So you can go into organic chemistry or whatever you're going to be going into. But I knew, again, I said from a very young age, what I wanted to do. So when I got ready to go to college, I almost was kind of frustrated and didn't really want to go. And I kind of listened to everybody, my family, my friends, just go, you're going to change your mind, blah, blah. And my my college, I went to a wonderful school in the Pennsylvania Mountains, only about 2 hours from New York. And the reason why I'm mentioning that I was so fixated what I wanted to do in beauty, I would take my regular classes in college, and sometimes I'd be done by 2 p.m. And then me and my buddy, my roommate, would get in the car and we'd drive to Manhattan. And I would go to Lauder and Lancome and Revlon and Chanel and Bath and Body Works and be bringing resumes. And this was before 9/11. So you actually could get into buildings and you're not get tackled to the ground, right? And that's what right. I felt. Even when I was in school, I was really frustrated because I knew what I wanted to do. And then 2 years in, I'm like, screw it. I just got in the car and I drove to California. And I just like, so I didn't really even finish, you know, so I ended up doing like 5 years of school, but I focused on just cosmetic chemistry through other companies, you know, so I interned and I worked for other cosmetic chemists and mentored them. So I ended up going to school a lot longer, but not a traditional brick and mortar, you know, school.
School of life, which I really like. So who was the first person to sort of let you in the door? Because it is such a unique, I'm fascinated by you, by the way. I think you're the most fascinating person, but it is such a unique niche, right? To cosmetic chemistry. Now I'm sure that you can go to school for this, but you know, back when you're starting out, who let you in the door? How did you break into it?
My start was because of a divorce, and I'll tell you why. So I always know the day I actually got to California, which was 1995, and I actually got to California on the day of the OJ verdict results day. So I knew the whole city was like shut down. People were waiting. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is I was driving across country for like 2 weeks. I took my time and I stopped and I went to Vidal Sassoon. And it was the first thing I wanted to go to. I've been like, you know, it was very, very popular salon at the time. It still is to this day, I guess, right?
No, but I know back in the day, because my sister was a cosmetologist. So I know the Vidal Sassoon, like that, and that school was insane.
Right. So I was like literally there with my U-Haul still attached to my car. And that's the first place I went. And I went in there and we're watching the OJ verdict results. And Beverly Sassoon, who's Vidal's ex-wife, they were just getting a divorce. And I hit it off with her. She happened to be there. And long story short, a couple months later, she won the hair care line and the divorce. And Vidal kept his name in the salons and all that. So she wanted to revamp the hair care line. And she knew about my background. So that was my very, very, very first thing. So I started working with Beverly, to revamp the Vidal Sassoon hair care line. And I mentioned with her chemist and her team and get that. So that was the very, very first project. And it happened like only after 2 days. And I got to thank OJ's trial for that, you know, but that's how I met her. And that was my very first project. And I only started like 2 weeks after I got to California. It was no pay. I was doing it all for free. I lived off my credit cards for 2 years, which was not a good idea, but you know, that's what I did.
Wait, you know what? I want to say something interesting. So I grew up, my family was in television production, and my dad always used to tell me, although now it's a different time, but I got my first job and he said, go in and tell them that you'll work for free.
Right.
I think it's an interesting, like, I want to work here so badly. I will work for free and you will see that I'm a worthwhile employee. I love that. That's really respectful.
Exactly what I did. Again, it wasn't a good idea financially, but I did it for 2 years.
Worked for free for 2 years?
I did. And I kind of floated to company, kind of consulting for them. So okay. To your point, I wanted to do it so bad. And it's a very, very bizarre industry. Like you probably, for example, haven't met too many cosmetic chemists. So you don't like meet us at a 7-Eleven, right? So it's like, there's not a lot of us around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky. I get to work with New Beauty Magazine. So I have gotten to speak to a lot of cosmetic, not a lot. Sorry, let me take that back. Not a lot, a handful. Yeah. And being in this business for this long.
The regular lay person that was just kind of out in the world just say, hey, I haven't really met cosmetic chemists or perfumers before, you know?
No, that's what I was saying. It's like sort of a niche industry to get into.
And that was the reason why I kind of really couldn't find a home for myself, to be paid, because it just wasn't, I didn't have an experience, right? And also I was only 19 years old doing this. And still to this day, I never worked for anybody in my life. So I started my company in 1995 and I always been a consultant, you know, so I never been on a W-2 my whole entire life. So I'm wired 1,000,000,000% entrepreneurial. I just cannot. I'm a phenomenal collaborator. I work great with everybody, but I'm just not I can't be told what to do. That's the best way to put it.
Which I love that. And you know what? Look, it's literally paid off because you've made over $1 billion for your
clients. For other people. I wish for other people. Yeah, unfortunately.
Right. Well, but so then it made sense. Like you said, you now have your own line.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about when that decision was, what that aha moment was.
Well, that actually was my, that's what I wanted to do when I was a kid. So that was like, even when I was, that's how like this whole kind of thing with the Young and the Restless kind of shaped me. As early as 11 or 12 or 13, I was already designing fragrance bottles and we had a logo. And my flash forward a couple of years, my friend in high school was a interior designer and like a, going to school for interior design, like at a high school level, you know, she's kind of studying the courses there. And she developed a logo for me like in 11th grade. And that logo still is my logo today for my company 25 years later. Cause so we did that kind of together when we were only 16 years old. So I knew from day one. And it was
You guys still friends, by the way?
We are.
Okay.
She's in my documentary coming out, which we'll talk about in a minute, but she's in that. And could we talk about that? How she knew that I wanted to do when I was a kid. I never deviated from what I wanted to do. So I had this fictitious, you know, brand.
Is she getting some residuals from this
logo? I always tell her I'm going to do it because when I launch my fragrance, for sure. So my company's called VS Vincenza, which is my brand, which is still the brand as of today. So the line is called Vincenza Skincare, which is caviar and diamonds. And I developed this brand specifically for the launch in Dubai about 3 years ago. And because Dubai is one of the diamond capitals of the world. And I had a great distributor out there who's going to distribute it in the whole Dubai UAE region. And long story short, the virus happened. And we didn't get a chance to launch it. So I had this beautiful, efficacious, you know, high performance prestige skincare line that we're still trying to find a home for, but it's, you can buy it online. Though we're winning awards for it, and we're getting all kinds of press, and it's not really available anywhere except for online at the moment.
Do you think you're going to have like an official launch at some point?
We have to. Yeah, just kind of like everybody, things got derailed because of the virus. We had to kind of like regroup and figure out where it's going to kind of live. And unfortunately, it's very, very high in prestige at a very high price point. So it just can't go anywhere. But it's very efficacious. I mean, you feel and see the results within 15 to 30 seconds. So we have, you know, raw materials in there, which are called instant gratifiers, that actually give you gratification almost on contact. That's kind of a real big part of the story, that you really can see it and feel it right there in front of you, right when you put it on.
I know, it's funny. I've been talking to people about this a lot lately. I used to work with QVC, with Murad, and it was really hard. People need that instant. It's hard, you know, as much as we know, and skincare is tough because skincare is, for the most part, it's a long drawn out thing. You're not going to have these instant results the same way that you do with color cosmetics, right? Like now I've got acne on one side of my face. Look, I put on this foundation. I don't, it's not the same with the skincare. So we do need that kind of instant gratification. Right. So is that where the diamond comes in?
Yeah, exactly. And I watched it grow since the early 90s when I started working. Cause I remember like doing consulting for Murad and those kind of companies. And it was like, you know, from at that point, it was like, you know, hey, all the results were 6 to 8 weeks. And then like, I remember like in the early 2000s, it was like 2 to 4 weeks. And then it became like 2 weeks and then like 1 week. And now we're like, literally, because of social media and our attention spans, it's on contact. And chasing back to your point, you know, the caviar and diamond, you know, combination, as you probably know, our body is about 75% oceanic elements and about 25%, you know, earth metal. So the caviar portion is the oceanic element part that replenish all the omega-6, all the vitamins back into our skin. As you probably know, caviar is the spine of life for fish, so it keeps, you know, the embryo alive. So it's very regenerating to the skin. It has a lot of cell turnover. And on the diamond side, it's actually called diamond cert, which is officially diamond dust. And we partner with the Beers up in Canada, and we get the diamond dust from them, and we put it through a whole maceration, you know, process to make sure it's all, you're pure and irradiated and very safe to use. And then we go ahead, and then that's very, very rich in magnesium PCA, zinc PCA, copper PCA, and all of this is for cell turnover and restructuring of the epidermis. So, and the caviar extract, again, within 15 to 20 seconds, you see it and feel it right on your skin, right on contact.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I cannot wait to try this. Sure. So I want to now ask you, because you came out with this book, and the book is called My Pursuit of Beauty: A Cosmetic Chemist Reveals the Glitz, the Glam, and the Batshit Crazy.
That's right.
So I got, the reason I became fascinated was because, you know, like you said, I've run into people, but you know, you don't run into a lot of cosmetic chemists. And, you know, prior to sort of hearing about this book, like it wasn't a household name. You weren't a household name in all fairness. And then when I started doing my research, I was like, wow, well, but you're kind of gonna be, because you've got this book, you've got a documentary. In addition to this fabulous product line, you also are doing now Judy Garland's perfume. which is insane.
Yeah.
How, like, let's go back to the celebrity part. Can you share like some crazy celebrity story with us?
Yeah, actually I actually have it in my book, and it was with Lauren Bacall, you know, one of the biggest actresses of all time. I had actually met, talk about, you know, just kind of being ballsy. I actually crashed Jimmy Stewart's funeral in the very late 90s. And I first of all, I was there to pay my respects, but I happened to be working across the street in Beverly Hills, and he had his mask, you know, across the street and in Beverly Hills at the Presbyterian Church there. And I saw everybody going, Kate Hepburn and Bob Hope and Cassin Grayson and Ann Miller. I mean, all the biggest stars of all time are going in, Lauren Bacall. And I just went back there in the back of the pew and I paid my respects. I also was a fan of Jimmy Stewart. So I went in there and, you know, half an hour later, I was just in the parking lot and I just struck up a conversation with Lauren Bacall. And I told her, I complimented her on her fragrance. And I just, you know, I love your work and blah, blah. And, you know, and she's like, what are you doing here? I said, honestly, I crashed the funeral just because I wanted to pay my respects. I was a big fan of his. And she invited me to lunch a couple of weeks later to the Ivy, which is a famous restaurant in Beverly Hills. And I had lunch with her. And it was one of those things. That's the reason why it's a chapter in my book. Is every single thing that could have gone wrong went wrong. She walked in with a beautiful Donna Karen, white head to toe, white suit with a big brim, white hat. And at the Ivy, if people know the restaurant, it's all on this kind of cobblestone, very kind of old vintage Hollywood. And the tables were rickety. And so I ended up throwing wine on her, I ended up knocking spaghetti on her. It just was like everything possibly could have gone wrong. And she was so gracious and fine. But at the very end, she's like, you know what? I'm done. I got to go. And I never heard from her again. So it was like, things like that just were like crazy. They have like one of the biggest, you know, legends of all time in front of me. And I just did everything wrong you possibly could do. When you read my book, it's a very fun read. And I always, a lot of times when I'm being interviewed, you know, for podcasts, specifically, you know, book podcasts and that kind of thing, the question I always get asked is, you know, what do you want the reader to take away from it? Like, what, you know, I'm like, and I tell the truth, literally, if you take away anything from my book, I'll be disappointed. Like, don't do anything that I did in my book and you'll be successful a lot faster. So I really want to call it a self-help book. What not to do, like, not to do in 35 chapters. Cause it just is like, if you can take it, read it and enjoy it and then do the opposite of that, you'll be successful a lot faster.
Yeah. But you know what though, I will say this too. You know, I've gotten to meet like a lot of entrepreneurial people like yourself. And I think that sometimes knowing what people did wrong, it is 10 times more important than knowing what they did right. Although, listen, yeah. I bet you're not the first person to be in Lauren Bacall's presence, be nervous and spill something on her. So shame on her for wearing white to a lunch.
That's right.
With that a fan.
And ordering spaghetti. That was idiotic.
Actually, no, then I get to take it back. The balls on that woman. And cheers to you, Lauren Bacall, for ordering. Right. Was she drinking red wine too?
She was.
You know, lifestyles of the rich and famous. You can wear head to toe white, not even give a shit. You know that.
Right.
And so I have to ask you, like, when you worked on J-Lo's perfume, did you get to like meet her? Were there interactions?
I did. And that was the very beginning, you know, my career. So when I say, I mean, I worked on her fragrance with a conglomerate, with a billion-dollar corporation. That wasn't like me developing her fragrance by herself, but I did get a chance to meet her and I met her a couple times. And actually, that's really funny you asked that question, because I only met her maybe about 20 minutes, about two different times. And we totally hit it off. We just talked about her being from the Bronx and me being from Jersey and Jersey boy and all this kind of stuff. And she, at the time, Jenny from the Block, that was her chart top. It was number one that period of time I was working with her, and she just nicknamed me Vinny from the Block, and it became my personal email, and I still have that email today on AOL. I still use for kind of just like bullshit stuff, like for hotel reservations, whatever. So I still have this Vinny from the Block at AOL email so I think of her every time I use it because she named me that. And she was lovely, a great businesswoman, very intelligent, and just absolutely wonderful woman to work with. But again, I worked with a whole gigantic team of people. It was one of my first projects. I was still with a kid, you know, working on it. But to your point, I kept leading into more celebrities by default.
I mean, do you find that like working with, you know, you mentioned you also work with doctors. Do you find that working with celebrities, does that give an added, it must give it like an added pressure, or do they find that it's easier because they know what they want, or?
It's added pressure a lot of times because of the timing. Like they may have like an album dropping, or they may have a movie coming out or whatever. And one thing we haven't chatted about, you know, to get like this bottle of water, you know, to market, this was a skincare product. I mean, we had to do the formulation, which takes, you know, 6 or 8 months. I mean, you had the cap, the bottle, the label, the barcoding, the regulatory copy, the ingredients, all this kind of stuff. And to get a moisturizer to market from scratch, you're talking about 2 years. It's not a fast process. It's very, very involved. It goes through all the regulatory. We do everything custom and from scratch for all of our clients. So that part was always, again, if they had an out, I'm going to be on Jimmy Fallon and blah, blah, blah. So you have to be ready for the stuff. And that was like a lot of times, you're not realistic for the timeline. So that's where the stressful part comes. Everybody wants to move so fast because they have A, B, and C going on. But I can't, like, if the FDA says you got to do stability for 90 days, which you do, I can't make 90 days go faster than 90 days. No matter what I do, 90 days is 90 days. That's the law, right? So I can't change that. You know, and we're FDA OTC drug facility, and we just can't cut those kind of corners. So that's where the true stress.
So do you now have your own lab that you...
Oh, yeah, for many years. Yeah, so I have a lab in Laguna Beach, which is our R&D lab, where we develop everything. And then we have 100,000 square foot manufacturing plant out in Tempe, Arizona. So all the
wow, R&D, so you handle everything.
Yeah, full concept to launch, exactly.
Yep. So when I'm ready to put my name on something, I'm going to call you up and we're going to figure it out.
Not shop, exactly.
Just, I need to make sure that I have 2 years to wait, that I've got a realistic timeline.
That's right. 18 months is the magic number, and that's normally our magic number.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's so interesting too. You see all these smaller brands coming up now. Have you seen a big change? Like, are you getting a lot more, you know, individual people and not big conglomerate sales?
Yes. We kind of, to your point, actually by default started specializing in smaller brands, like really nice, solid, you know, $5, $10, $15 million brands rather than like these billion-dollar corporations. Because a lot of times, of course, they have the team to do everything themselves. But for example, I worked on a SKU for Oil of LA, Regeneris, many, many, many years ago. Not because they don't have a massive team. They do. But a lot of times they'll bring in just chemists from the outside just for fresh ideas. And they have some of the most brilliant chemists in the world. So they don't need Vince Spinato. But I'm also a trend forecast writer. Again, I work with all the celebrities. I'm out here in LA and in Hollywood. So a lot of times they bring people like us in just for a fresh idea. And that's when we get the big ones. But to your point, I would say 90% of our work are these smaller brands, you know, indie brands that have smaller volume, that are clean, sustainable, green, all these kind of different stories that we kind of get them to be at the, yeah. And we technology keeps changing very rapidly. So we always have to be changing technology, et cetera. Right.
So what does it take, you know, like at the very entry level for some of this, you know, now that we're getting the behind the scenes working, like what kind of financial commitment does that require? Because sometimes I see these brands and I'm like, how much money did you have to come up with? You're saying millions of dollars.
Well, not that much, but it's not an expensive process. Like if you're going to do like a skincare line of like 6 items, for example, I mean, for sure, like a $300K is going to, you'll need about to kind of get you all the way through the process. I mean, formulations are about $25,000 to $35,000 each per item, depending how difficult it is. Like an OTC drug is about $35,000. You have to go through all this extra regulatory and an OTC drug, you know, for your viewers can be, you know, an SPF or a hand sanitizer, or hair regrowth or acne. That's kind of like the four categories for OTCs that we deal with. But then you got to get your packaging and your bottles and your manufacturing. It's not an inexpensive process. And that's why you have a lot of companies that offer private label that have, you know, formulations that are already ready to go for kind of new startups. But the only issue is that you don't own the formulation. You can't change anything. You're kind of held hostage in a way to where you get it from. Because if you do it private label wise and you become very successful, whoever you're buying it from really owns your stuff, right? You don't really own anything. That's kind of the issue. So a big chunk of our business are people that actually started that way and become successful. And then we have to reverse engineer their own products. So they can own them, which kind of sucks, you know, for them on their end. But it's like, so we kind of become like this, like, the nose job guy that fixed botched nose jobs, right? We have to go back and retool it.
That's insane. I mean, I just love the inner workings of all the stuff, you know, that we don't see on the outside. You just think, here's this fabulous.
Yeah, and as I'm sitting here thinking about the clients we have right now, actually every single one of them are a reverse engineer of their own product. So that's unfortunately, if you start the wrong way 10 years ago and you don't own your stuff, then you have to get all your regulatory documents together. If you're a successful brand, you have to be able to, if you're going to go overseas, for example, you got to have all your your SDS, which is like a safety data sheet, see about your certificate of analysis, which shows like your pH, your odor, viscosity, your color. So all the stuff that they would not be able to have if you're a private label brand, rather than having to reverse engineer it.
Wow. So an interesting tip here for people who might be thinking about wanting to get into this industry is that you recommend hiring a formulator right at the top.
If you can. I mean, to your point, not everyone can afford it, which is totally fine. I mean, going the private label route, definitely way more inexpensive for sure. But if you are successful, then a lot of times, unfortunately, 3 or 4 years later, you got to pay all those fees all over again because you don't own anything. So you have no IP. Right. Your brand is not really worth anything.
Right. Wow. I mean, so much goes into this stuff. Tell us a little bit about this documentary coming out.
So one of the questions I've gotten my whole entire career, you probably, even your business probably get it too, is like, how do you do it? Like, how do these products get to the market? You know, if I'm sitting on an airplane next to a lady and I say, hey, I'm a cosmetic canvas. The first thing happens, the purse gets dumped in my lap. How did you make this lipstick? How does that? So I've been asked that my whole life. You know, so that was what the documentary was being about, actually showing America how we make these products kind of from concept to launch. And it profiled a couple of my celebrity clients that we're working with and doctors and these brands. And they followed me around so it's been 7 years and following me around with these cameras because to kind of showing all the beginning, the middle, the end of how these brands actually came to market. So really it's kind of a deep dive in showing America how the products are made, what goes in behind it, the manufacturing process, and all my personal life, of course, is in it as well. So just by default. And because I've had, as you probably saw in the book, a lot has happened. So it's
yeah.
Yeah.
So when is the book is available now. Yeah. When is the documentary? And I saw that the documentary had 2021 as the date, but where can we see it? How is it going to be? Is it streamed?
Yeah, sometime in the late fall. Right now we're doing the film festival route at the moment. So we don't know where it's going to live exactly in the fall, but it'd be most likely Hulu, Apple, you know, Netflix, et cetera. We don't know where it's going to actually live quite yet, but one of those places in the very late fall.
And it was called,
Skin Deep Formulating a Legacy.
Skin Deep Formulating a Legacy. Right. I'm telling you, go to your website. You have to see this. What is it? VinceSpinato.com?
Yep, exactly.
And
exactly.
You can see all of these trailers. I cannot wait for this documentary to come out. Vince, I got to tell you, I was so excited to have you on today. I feel like I want to bring you back more. I could talk to you forever because I love the inner workings of how these products... Be careful there. If people want to know more about this, if they want to know more about your book, your fabulous line, or this movie, where's the best place for them to go?
The starting point is probably my website. You said the VinceSpinato.com because everything lives there. And all my social media is all just my name. So it's really simple. All the IG, Facebook, everything is just my name. But the website will take you to the book, take you to the documentary, take you to my product line, and also the fragrance work we're doing for Miss Garland coming up. So there's a lot going on, which is great.
That is so wonderful. Her 100th birthday anniversary, right. And that will be next year. Yeah, we're launching this.
June 10th, 2022 is her 100th birthday. Correct.
And did I hear Liza Minnelli's involved in this?
The whole family is involved. Yep. Lorna Luft, her daughter, Liza, her daughter, and Joey Luft, the son. So that's been really great. So I'm working directly with the estate and the trust, of Judy Garland's estate and trust. So I'm working with the family, which is lovely. Cause a lot of times that never happens. So that's what's been, for me on my end, developing the fragrance, for someone, I'm a massive fan of number one. I'm also a fan, which has been fun, right? To get all the inner workings of what Judy didn't wear, what she did wear, what she liked, what she didn't like, even down to food. I mean, her family knows all this. So it's been really, really helpful. So you have all this backstory of all old Hollywood and what went on, what didn't go on. Judy had a very rough life, as we all know, it's very public, she's obviously one of the biggest gay icons in the world. So we're making this product unisex, of course, from day one.
Because
we make sure we have the gay market involved, the male gay market, and of course, women. So it's going to be a unisex fragrance for both sexes. And most people probably know that Gay Pride Month, maybe you don't know, it's all because of Judy Garland. She was born in June. She passed away in June. Our rainbow flag, it's because of Over the Rainbow. So everything is Judy Garland for gay. Gay community.
I knew that Gay Pride Month was in June. I did not know, and I'm surprised at this. I did not know that history. So it's because of Judy Garland.
Correct. She was born in June. She passed away in June, and also even our rainbow flag is because of Over the Rainbow. So everything is tied into her. It also was the Stonewall riot that happened the night of her funeral. So there was a couple things, but really, when you talk to the gay community, it's really because of Judy Garland's passing that night, which was called the Stonewall Riots. you know, so she's, so I'm honored to be doing it. For me, it's my biggest celebrity project for me, and she happens to be deceased, you know, but it's, for me, I'm very excited about it.
It's the best. I have goosebumps right now. This is so amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to smell that. I'm definitely bringing you back on here. So I'm going to tell everybody at home, if you've got questions that you want me to ask Vince, because he is so fascinating, send him my way. hello@artbeautypodcast.com. Vince, thank you so much for spending your time today.
You too. Thank you for all your time. I appreciate it.
And you can find us here on Facebook, Instagram, and of course, YouTube at Art Beauty Podcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.